Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. What a wonderful time to be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the awesomeness of God, and to know that God is faithful. How many of you know He's faithful? I mean, you ought not have no doubt. You ought to give Him a better hand of praise for His faithfulness. Amen, amen. I've had several texts to teach from the day and prayed about it, and so this is what the Holy Ghost wanted me to share with you. Faith and patience, a winning combination. And what we've seen in our history today, yesterday more importantly, but in this as a day, is again clear evidence that God is faithful to His word and to His people. And if we learn to have faith and patience in whatever your struggle is, whatever your issue is, whatever your area of life or concern is, you'll learn how to have a winning combination. Say with me, faith and patience,
faith and patience,
a winning combination. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, brothers and sisters, one of the things that we've got to learn, you know, a whole lot of folk talk the talk, but there's no evidence of them walking the walk. We've got to learn how to focus on those who talk the talk but have the walk to back up the talk. And notice the word says, that ye be not slothful. Don't you fool around and get caught up in the naysayers and all of the negative talking and the this can't happen and this won't happen. But learn how to be followers of those who through faith have persevered, who through patience have inherited the promises that they believed God for. And so you're going to learn how to put your mind and your focus on positive things, positive thoughts, positive people, and positive practices, so that you will recognize that God is faithful to those He has promised, whatever it is He has promised, and God will bring to pass if you have the patience and, more importantly, the faith to believe Him and wait on Him till He produces what He promised. Let's look at faith. I want you to look at some of these definitions. You may be able to write them down. If not, just get the gist of them, if you will. Faith: confident belief in the truth, value or trustworthiness of a person, ideal, or thing. It's also the belief that does not rest on logical proof or material evidence. It's the belief in the historical truthfulness of the scripture narrative and the supernatural origin of its teachings. The belief in the fact and truth of the scriptures with a practical love of them, especially that confiding and affectionate belief in the person and work of Christ, which affects the character and life and makes a man a true Christian, called a practical evangelical or saving faith. There must be an expectation connected with your faith. You see, when you say you have faith, to say you have faith and even to believe in faith means that there is an expectation as an end result of what your faith is going to produce. In other words, if you say, I have faith, faith is the beginning part of putting in practice, putting as a foundation, putting in force what you're expecting to happen after your faith has been proven, after your faith has been materialized or manifested. In other words, if you say you have faith, at the end of saying I have faith, you say, here is my proof. In other words, the work should come after the faith. And so too many folks say, I have faith, but there is no expectation. Well, you can say you have faith, but if you're not expecting anything, it's like shooting and not having a target. You may or may not hit anything, but it's irrelevant because you're not aiming at anything. Faith is having a goal. Faith is saying, this is what I believe God for. This is what's going to happen. And at the end of my faith, when it is fully come to fruition, you will see the end result of what you've heard me speak, of what you've heard me say, of what you've heard me share as a vision materialized in the earth realm. That faith and expectation is so important. Now, just because you have faith, and you may very well have faith, but your patience runs short, so that while you were faithful in believing you could get it, you didn't wait till it materialized. Again, we use the agricultural metaphor of a farmer sowing seed. Now, one of the things that is clearly evident about the practice of sowing seed is the fact that when you bury seed underground, you can't see it. You have to trust the fact that once you've done your part, once you have done what is necessary to make sure that the seed has a proper place to germinate and grow, that you let it do what it's supposed to do after you've done what you're supposed to do. Let me put it this way. God expects us to do the possible. We expect God to do the impossible. Before God will do the impossible, we've got to do what? The possible. Now, here is the point. Once we've done the possible, what do we do now? Wait. Do you not know waiting is harder than working? See, because at least if you're busy and you're doing something, your mind can be occupied by doing this and doing that and staying focused. But when you are waiting, that's where the devil takes his prime shots at trying to tell you it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, it never happened before, what's the likelihood of this happening, and tries to bring up failures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to keep you from being patient and enduring to the end. Now, this word patience, the state or quality of being patient, the power of suffering with fortitude, uncomplaining endurance of evils or wrongs, as toil, pain, poverty, insult, oppression, calamity, etc. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me once I do what I'm supposed to do, I've got to be able to endure and not complain even when I've been done wrong, even when there are evils all around me, even when I'm in pain, even when I've been insulted, even when I'm dealing with oppressions and calamities? Yes. Because what you know is this too shall pass. And the only reason why the enemy is angry is because you've already done your part. Now it's left up to God to do his part. And God is faithful. So you need to know you're going to suffer. But you need to have fortitude through that, because once you've released your part to God's hand, the question is, can anybody stop God? No, no, no. Whatever it is that you have obeyed God in and been faithful to God about, you now need to be patient to let God work everything out in your favor without complaining. Have an endurance, a spirit of endurance. I'm going to make it through. I'm going through. I don't care what the cost is, the price is. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they try to do. My position is I'm going through without being cynical and disillusioned, cranky and hard to get along with. Patience, the quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. You know, when you really learn how to be patient, it really causes you to rest, not in what you do, but in what God does. Because if God is for you, the scripture clearly tells you, who can be against you? In other words, it doesn't say no one will be against you. It literally means those who are against you are against him. And if they can't beat him, guess who else they can't beat? They cannot beat you. So you are patient and you are bearing. You are bearing. You are able to handle and deal with. Don't let the devil make you a wimp. They're going to talk about you. They talked about Jesus. He said, if they did it to me, no, they're going to do that to you. They lied on him. What you think about you? I mean, Jesus could have wiped them off planet Earth knowing who they were. And yet he didn't do that. He rather let them live and see him triumph over everything they tried to hurt him in. See, you've got to learn how to be patient and enduring in spite of affliction and tribulation, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to be good-natured and have a good-natured tolerance of delay or incompetence. See, there are sometimes things that are going to happen, and God will allow delays, and God will allow some places and some things around you that are incompetent. But listen at this. God isn't incompetent. And if you were competent enough to do the things that you were supposed to do, know that God is still in the business of working things out, fixing things so that in the end, you come out as a winner. Now, again, we're talking about patience and endurance here. Quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care, diligence. I like the last word, long-suffering. See, because if you're going to be patient and endure, the end result is, if you miss all the rest of this, just put down long-suffering. Because it's going to take care of diligence. It's going to take care of even-tempered care. It's going to take care of perseverance. It's going to take care of being steady. If you put down long-suffering and recognize that the end result is, once you've done your part, what you desire may not come as quickly as you want it to, but if you're ready to, I mean, get yourself down in the trenches and you're ready for the long haul, if you're in it to win it, then don't worry about it. Right. See, a whole lot of us get in it, but we're not necessarily in it to win it if it takes too long. Yeah. We're in it to win it if it happens overnight. We're in it to win it if it doesn't cost us too much. We're in it to win it if folk don't talk about us. We're in it to win it if it doesn't challenge us too much. We're in it to win it if we don't have to cry about it. We're in it to win it if we don't have to suffer much about it. But here's the thing. Those things that are worth having and worth fighting for, many times are going to come at the expense of long suffering. Yes, sir. All right, let's look at the efforts and elements in unison. Lamentation 3:26, you can write these down. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord or the deliverance of the Lord. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait. See, some of us hope, but we ain't quiet about it. Man, anybody who will hear our cry, hear our moan, hear our complaint, hear our struggle, we around telling everybody about it. But what that does is it many times undermines your ability to wait patiently and confidently on God. Yeah. And it invites naysayers and those who would try and talk you out of and against the reality of what God's going to do, those who can't see your vision, those who can't hear what God has said to you and cause them to be against you where you turn against yourself. Yes, sir. Well, maybe you're right. He hadn't come at this point. And I know I walked in faith. I obeyed God. And so maybe it just wasn't his will. And on and on and on, but we invite folk to bring negativity into our situation. Listen, Romans 8:24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In other words, when you start learning how to bring the Word of God together with your action, the efforts and the elements in unison, you begin to realize, wait a minute, I don't have to hope for something I see. That means God's already delivered that. Yeah. Yeah. But if I'm going to hope, it's going to be in that thing that I see, not in the natural realm, but that thing that I see in the spirit realm. And here's what you need to realize. As long as you can see it by faith. As long as you can still see it in the spirit realm, yeah. As long as you can see that God is still for whatever it is that you have presented before him, then you need to know you need to have patience to wait for it. Yeah. What you don't realize is how much other stuff God is working out to get what it is you want for him to you.
That's right. That's right.
You don't know how many things he's moving out of your way, how many obstacles, how many people he's pulling out of position and putting in the position who's going to make this thing happen. Right. You don't know all of the connections and the disconnections God's working behind the scene to make this thing work out for you. You praying for a promotion, but you know there's some people in place God's got to get out the way to get you promoted. Y'all don't hear me here. You're praying for this breakthrough. There are some folk God's got to break down before you could ever get your breakthrough. And there's some things he's working on while you don't see it. You need to know that he is faithful. And if you have done what you're supposed to do, you need to patiently wait for it.
That's right.
Listen at this. Galatians 5:5 says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And of course, we know that 22 and 23 of that fifth chapter of Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we learn how to, through faith, operate in the things that the Word of God says we have dominions in, we have authority in, we have power in, we have the ability to conquer and control and change in. When we recognize it begins in the spirit realm before it's ever materialized in the natural realm, we'll change our mentality about being so quick, fast, and instant and microwavable in our mentality, like everything has got to happen right now or it's not going to happen.
Yes.
See, sometimes the delay is for your development.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Because sometimes you ask God for something so big, he knew if he gave it to you right now, you couldn't handle it.
Right.
He dropped it in your lap, opened up the door, made that way for you, you couldn't deal with it. So sometimes he's not saying no, he's just saying not now.
Right.
Let me get you right first.
Right.
Let me straighten you out right. And so sometimes in the same reality, we need to learn that all of this works together in unison. James 1:2-4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers different various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But notice what he says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. See, that's our problem. We don't want patience to have her perfect work. Lord, I want it, and I want it yesterday. Not now. That's too long. Yesterday. Lord, what happened? And because it didn't come yesterday, and it isn't obviously here now, then we allow the enemy to rob us of allowing patience to have her perfect or complete work. You see, when patience, listen at this, has her complete work, she's not working on your issues. She's working on you. Y'all will catch that when you... When patience has done all that is necessary in making you complete and your situation complete, when the two come together, there is nothing left out, nothing undone, nothing that does not work together rightly. Every part fits perfectly and it flows effortlessly. When patience have her perfect work. See, that's why you need to recognize it may be yours, but it may not be yours now. And if it is not yours now, then it's not yours now. If it's not yours now, stop acting like it. Wait until God brings it to you while you're claiming the promise it is yours. It's mine when the Lord delivers it, manifested and full and complete. Then I have the whole ability to enjoy all of it. Right now in the spirit realm, I have the joy of knowing it's on the way.
Yes, sir.
When God gave Israel Canaan, it was still occupied.
That's right.
But he promised it to them.
Right.
It was their land. It was their land, but they still had inhabitants in their land, on their property. God gave them homes they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, walls, cities that were protected, all the rest of that. And then he sent spies in there to show them proof that everything was just like he said. A land flowing with milk and honey. They said, but you didn't tell us about the giants. Well, God was saying, well, they're just getting stuff ready for you to come. It's your land, but they're still getting it ready for you.
Yeah.
Now, when it's time for you to move in, guess what he's going to do? Y'all not hearing me. They didn't understand that it was theirs, Listen, it had been promised to them, but they didn't have yet the possession of it. But the possession was an extension of the promise. If he promised it, the possession wasn't but a technicality. And so some of you need to realize that what God has promised you is yours. You just got to wait for the possession. It's just a technicality. Don't get upset because somebody's in your house now. He know you can't handle it right now. But when you get ready, it's going to be ready for you to move in come move-in day. Let's move on to evidence of faith in scriptures. Then maybe you don't believe what I'm saying. Matthew 17, verse 20 says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Do you know how different your life would be if you really believe that? "And nothing shall be impossible to you, and nothing shall be impossible unto you, and nothing shall be..." The stuff that you think that's impossible, God calls that nothing. You worrying about nothing. Tell your neighbor, you worrying about nothing. The stuff you let bother you, get under your skin, that you stressing out about, God calls that nothing. "And nothing shall be impossible unto you." Well, the next scripture says, Romans 1 and 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live," not exist, not just get by, not just make it, but live. The word carries a connotation of abundance and living life at the highest level by faith. See, in other words, when you begin to live life by faith, you live a life of expectancy, a life of every day just believing God for the best. Yeah. Today is great, but tomorrow is going to be greater. I mean, you stop having those feelings like you're going to die because something good just happened to you. You start expecting a miracle. You start expecting God to do the impossible. You expect God to make folk touch your life, bless your life. You don't even know. You ain't talking about the folk that owe you money. You talking about folk that God just said, "I just want to be a blessing to your life." Because he said, it's going to come through men. You just expect God to put favor on you so much so that folk just want you higher and closer to the upper powers that be because they like your spirit, like your character. They want to bless you. What it is you need, what it is you want, rather than you have to go around complaining and crying, being cynical and disillusioned. God wants you to live in a place of expectancy. Listen, that kind of powerful spirit breeds the kind of contact that you want around you. Because I got news for you. Positive folk, folk who are rich or who have accomplished or who have excelled, listen at this word clearly, want those kind of folk around them. Do you know in biblical days it was literally a law where if you went before the king's presence with a downtrodden countenance, with a nasty and negative spirit, that your life could be taken from you. Because the king dealt with such weighty matters, he didn't even want negative people around him. It's one thing issuing and registering your complaint. It's another thing to have a nasty, negative spirit about you. You know those kind of folk that no matter when you see them, ain't got nothing good to say about nothing, nobody, including the Lord. I mean, folk that just, you can show them all the brightness and the glory of what God is doing and what God said he'll do. Yeah, but you know, in these days, and I don't know, and it ain't never happened in my life. And I don't know. I don't believe, I think that happened in Bible days, but I don't believe that's happening today. Those are the kind of folk you need out your face and out your space. Nobody moving forward needs folk who keeps them looking backwards. Listen at this. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If you can't pull it up to the spiritual level to see what God wants you to see, you're always going to be distracted by the negativity of this world. In other words, no matter what your plan is, no matter what your goals are, if you look in the natural, you will find opponents and opposition to everything you want to do. And this is the reality of it. If you keep your focus here, it will stop you. And if it won't stop you, it will hinder you so long, it will be as if it stopped you. But listen at the word, for we walk by faith, not by sight. See, the problem is, God said, go forth. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they had gotten by the Red Sea, etc., God told Moses, when God, you know, heard his cry about, well, God, you know, here come Pharaoh's army and here we got the Red Sea and the people are complaining. And, you know, Moses said, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. Before he told him to do that, he said, speak to the people that they may go forth. Now, how could they go forth with a Red Sea in front of them? Whenever God tells you to go forth, what you may not realize is he's already given you without you recognizing the necessity of tools and instruments to go forward with. Moses had in his hand what God had already given to him for the situations he would need before him. And he told him, stretch it out, cross the water. And all he had to do was what God told him to do with what he already had, and the waters obeyed him, and he was able to go forth when it didn't look like there was no way they were going to be able to make that. What am I trying to tell to the people of God? See, let the obstacles be God's problem. That's not your problem. All you need to do is obey God. God, you said go forth. Now, here is what you need to do. Don't stop. We walk by faith. And as they begin to walk by faith, God honored their faith, opened up the waters, allowed them to go through. When they came through and the enemies thought they were going to come behind them and overtake them, God then caused the waters to close back up. What you don't understand is the door he opens up for you isn't the same door he opens up for your enemy. And goodness and mercy, David says, follow me. So you ain't got to worry about your back. God's got your back. God's going to take care of your enemies and your issues if you learn how to have the evidence of believing God through his word. Look, Ephesians 6 and 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't you think that just because you have the shield of faith that the enemy is not going to shoot at you? It's up to you to block what he's shooting at you. Don't get so holier than thou where you think you're so close to God that he ain't going to let him shoot at you. No, he's going to let him shoot their best shot. But he's going to give you a shield of faith that comes through this word, that God's promises will be backed up by God himself, and all you got to do is activate what he has told you in this word, in this operating, in this world, and it shall become a shield of faith to you. It shall be the very thing that protects you. It doesn't say the enemy is not going to do what he do. That's what he do. It didn't say folk wasn't going to hate on you. That's what they do. It didn't say liars wouldn't lie on you. That's what they do. It didn't say enemy wouldn't come against you. That's what they do. But what it promised was that you would be an overcomer in all of that you would have the victory through all of that. And God has shown it on a major scale to the believers on more levels than I could even begin to express to you today and even in your own life. And if you begin to look at it as God sees it and shows it, Hebrews 11 and 1 makes it clear, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's got to be in the faith realm first. It's got to be in the unseen reality underneath the skin first before it ever is materialized in the natural world. Evidence of patience in Scripture. Romans 5 verses 2 through 4, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. See, when you stop thinking just because you're good, bad things aren't going to happen to you. No, when you get really good, you need to recognize tribulation's coming at you. When you really get good, good enough to pass the test, good enough for God to brag on you, then you're really going to have some tribulations. Because God don't brag on losers. And unless you're not, you know, in that place where you know who you are and whose you are,